You're with Virginia on ABC Radio Melbourne.
Well, I mentioned before healthcare workers who answered the call and who stayed the course and who stayed in some very dangerous circumstances for many months. We had a high rate of healthcare worker infection, and I think that's something that in time will need to be accounted for as well, because a really good health system actually wouldn't have had that many healthcare workers infected. Dr. Stephen Parnas, I know you'll be familiar with, he's a former vice president of the AMA. He's an emergency physician, and he's kept up a very high public profile all the way through the pandemic. Every day he's gone to work, his ups and his downs, his travails and his trials, and what it's been like being in the front line. And on this very special day, he joins you now. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Virginia.
Are you bursting into tears or bursting into cheers?
Bit of both. It is an emotional thing. My training makes me wary about ever saying that we've ever reached the finish line here. But I took the trouble of going back and looking at where I had saved the figures from the Department of Health in August when we hit 725. I didn't know that that was going to be the peak. None of us did. I was fearful that we were going to have many thousands every day. But the fact that in about 3 months we've got to this point, no one would have been able to suggest that we would even come close to this. So it rightly is a day where I think we should all have a great deal of personal satisfaction.
A great deal of personal satisfaction, but very hard won. And I've been mentioning before, you know, the groups and the individuals who suffered a great deal getting to this point. How hard has it been for frontline healthcare workers like you?
I don't think any of us are going to come through this without a few scars. It was a scary time. It was an exhausting time. Having to keep up with even just the latest information about how to practice our daily work, what treatment may or may not assist these desperately sick people, having to keep relatives away from their patients, and the one that we will never forget, those dying patients who were dying away from their loved ones. This is devastating stuff, and I don't think we'll ever forget it. It's the closest analogy I keep coming back to is that it's been like being in a war. But the thing that, and some people recover well from war, other people never do. But I think that I keep reminding myself, by the standards of other places, we are doing incredibly well, and we have a lot to be grateful for. In Australia, governments by and large and the community have listened to the expert advice. That hasn't been the case in a lot of other parts of the world, and they're paying a terrible price for it. So what can we learn from it? You know, that's the key.
I'm going to ask you later on about the most significant thing you've learned from this. But on that point, the conversations that you and your colleagues must have been having behind closed doors there in the wards and in the hospitals and the like, they must have mirrored the conversations we were having out in the community. Have they got the settings right? Where have they got it wrong? Why have they got that wrong? Will they really be able to achieve this? Those worried circular conversations we were having. Were you doing the same?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in emergency in particular, we spend a lot of time thinking about disaster planning and disaster management. And for a change, the things that we were doing in our daily medical work and have done for years were reflected in every public discussion being held around the country and around the world. Have we got the right resources? What are the priorities? What are the things that have to wait? And, you know, the best examples, I think, are the comments from that expert at the World Health Organization, which says speed trumps perfection. Another one that I think really matters is importance of self-care. You know, at a cardiac arrest, you take your own pulse so that you can keep calm and do the right thing.
Just to interrupt there, do you really?
Yeah, absolutely. I learned that as a medical student.
So you don't panic.
Well, that's right. Because if you are overwhelmed by anxiety, then you're not going to be able to care for people in the way that you should. And you know, I would often say over the last 10 months, we think about our training, we think about our colleagues, and we think about our community. And that sense of togetherness in confronting something makes it more tolerable. Because even though we spent so much time alone in our homes or locked away, there was, I think, this prevailing sense of community. And I think everyone will have a story of people who were acquaintances who've now become close friends because of the fact that they went through something terrible together.
Congratulations to you and all of your colleagues, Stephen Parnas. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.